Yes, we are going to be in 2 Thessalonians, but yes, I did ask Kellen to read that chapter because yes, we are going to talk about work. Because tomorrow's Monday. I didn't hear any groaning. That's good. Tomorrow means work for most people, depending on your schedule. Yes, Mike and Sean have to go to work very shortly. But whether it's Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, usually Monday means work. Why do you work? Why work? That's the topic, the issue I want to take up this morning. It is not the point of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. I did not believe I would have enough time this morning with everything else we're doing to deal with the point of the passage adequately. But as I was studying the passage, part of Paul's reasoning in the passage has to do with the issue of work and the purpose of work. So honestly, for yourself and your mind right now, why do you work?
Because I have to. Because I need to. Got to pay the bills.
I hope you'll have a biblical answer when we're done here this morning, and therefore also motivation for Monday morning, whether it's 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., or whether it's Sunday night or whatever it is, to embrace work. Some of you may have thought of a biblical answer when I said that. You may have said, well, if you don't work, you won't eat. That's in our passage this morning. And that's true. But that is not why we work. Some of you thought of the biblical, theological answer this morning. Some of you scholars said, well, we work to glorify God. That's exactly right. But Scripture here says, if you don't work, you don't eat. How do those fit together? How are we supposed to view work? Why work? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Join me in prayer before we go there. Father in heaven, through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, His burial, His resurrection, He has paid the price for our sin. He has made us His own, brought us into your presence. We are now your people, your household. We are alive to you. Our sins will not be held against us. You have transformed us from death to life. You have relocated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. From being your enemy to being your people, if our faith is in Christ. And yet we live in this state, this situation, this reality now, where through faith in Christ we are saved, we are alive with Christ, seated in the heavenly with Him, blessed with every blessing in Him. Your Spirit is alive and at work in us, yet we have our flesh. And so there is this battle. And that battle always begins and ends in our minds with our thinking and how we view things. And while the reality of our salvation is complete by grace through faith in Christ, the transformation of us in the likeness of Christ in this life is a process. We have new life. And that is to transform us in our view and our thinking on everything. Father, as you know, it is so easy for us to carry on with wrong thinking we've always had, to buy into lies that are constant all around us. And there wouldn't be a temptation if it wasn't for our own flesh. So even if we are in Christ and alive in Him, we need you to be at work in us continually. And you are. You who began a good work and your people will carry it out to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. I pray very specifically this morning that you would encourage us if we have the right perspective on work, and exhort us and spur us on in that through your word. Or if we need to be corrected and transformed in our thinking regards to work, I pray that you would do that. So that we would be more so every day transformed into the image of Christ. That He would have first place, starting in our every thought and being seen in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. While I am speaking of the kind of work where you go and you have to show up, and if you don't show up, you don't get paid, this would extend to children who are in school, homeschool, whatever you're doing, your studies that you have and chores that you have, anyone who's a stay-at-home mom who maybe you're not going out to some place and getting a paycheck. It would extend to all kinds of work, though primarily what's in view here is the kind where you have to show up, otherwise you don't get paid. Join me now in reading, follow along with me as I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly, to earn their own living. Right away, I hope, focusing in there on verse 10 and saying, it's clear. You work so you can eat. If you don't work, you don't get to eat. And that is true. It's there. It's in the scripture. That's the instruction, the command that Paul gave when he was among the Thessalonians for a short time. The point of this passage is not why we work, but Paul is now commanding them and exhorting them, those who are working, to deal with those who aren't, and those who aren't working to work. But what I want to look at this morning is, in Paul's explanation and support of this and clarification on the issue of work, why work? And while it does say in verse 10, if you don't work, you don't get to eat, that is how we accomplish why we work. Why we work is indeed that answer. That theological, biblical answer to glorify God, or to serve Christ, or as our little succinct statement here, to worship Christ with our lives. And you see that that is the very context here. First of all, he gives in verse 6 this command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul's saying this command comes by the authority of Jesus, who is Lord, the one who has all authorities and all powers in control, and everyone answers to him, and who is the Messiah, the anointed one, who has saved us. The context is Jesus Christ, and if you remove work or anything else from Jesus Christ, you get sin. Where do I get that? Romans 14. Anything apart from faith is sin. You may be the nicest person in the world, giving all your money away to the poor, doing all kinds of wonderful, beneficial things like other people do. But if you don't do that in the context of being in Christ, in faith, it's sin. The context is always Christ. And even if Paul hadn't used his in this case, in the name of Christ here. And again in verse 12, now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Even if he didn't say it here, once again, it's all over the letter. But he said it here for us. That is the context. We work as Christians. This is two Christians. We work in the context of being in Jesus Christ and alive to Jesus Christ, with Him being our Lord. We work for Him, to serve Him. That's the overall middle and bottom line. It's why we work for Him. You see that, I'd back that up with 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether we eat or drink and whatever we do it all for the glory of God, right? And in Ephesians chapter 6, we looked there this morning for the instructions on fathers. After that comes instructions on slaves. And it tells slaves, now you serve not as men pleasers, but as serving the Lord. That's it, right there. You do what you do, whatever you do, if you are a Christian, you do it for Christ. For His name's sake, serving Him. MacArthur's on that role. He's been on that role for a while, and hats off to him because he's right. The word in the Scripture describing us as slaves. We are slaves of Christ. So what we do for Him. We don't do it for the man. We don't do it for more stuff. We don't do it to please people around us or mom and dad or to keep up with the Joneses. We don't have any Joneses here. That's good. You know what that means. To keep up with the neighbors and do that. We do what we do for Christ. Whatever we do, it is for Christ. There is no sacred versus secular. If you allow me to use this phrase, when Christ redeems a man or a woman, a child, young or old, however, and washes them and cleans them and makes them his own, zealous for good works, there's no separation in what those good works involve. It's not, well, they do one thing through Monday through Friday or whatever their work schedule is, but Sunday's a different story. Bible reading, that's a different story. You know, that's for the Lord, you know. My hobbies are for me. My work is to put bread on the table. But, you know, the Bible reading and the family stuff, that's and Sunday, that's for the Lord. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not a new creation. That's a hybrid. Okay? That is a separating out and saying is that there's such a thing as the sacred, that which is for Christ, and the secular, that which doesn't relate to Him. There is nothing for a Christian that doesn't relate to Him. There's nothing for anyone that doesn't relate to Him. In Him we move and live and have our being, whether we acknowledge Him or not. And to Him we will answer for everything we say or do, whether we acknowledge Him or not. There's no separating that. And yet we as Christians, we get so caught up and we get going with the flow, thinking we work because we have to. Or just to put bread on the table. Or, not worse yet, but if it's wrong, it's wrong, so we can have more stuff. That's not why we work. We work for Christ. We serve Christ in our work. You say, but Carl, there's verse 10 here. Yes, verse 10 gets at the how we do what we do for Christ. If I just say, yeah, do what you do for Christ, everything's for Him, for His glory, that's sort of abstract. How does that, let's use our catchphrase, how does that apply? What does that look like for us? That's what this, if you don't work, you don't eat, gets to. That gets to the how we serve Christ in our work. How we work for Christ when we work, whether you go to work or however that plays out. And we do that by earning our own bread. That's the point of verse 11, right? Excuse me, verse 10. If anyone will not eat, let him not work. Verse 12. I command and encourage the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly to earn their own living. So we are serving Christ, we are worshiping Christ, we are glorifying God by earning our own living for the purpose of, look what Paul says here in his example. In his example, he says this, for yourselves, brothers, verse 7, know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. He's saying, we're an example of working, and we worked, he doesn't say to earn our own bread, though of course he did that. We worked to earn our own bread so that we would not be a burden to any of you. He worked so as not to be a burden to them. We work for our own bread, not simply for our own bread, but if our perspective is on we're doing this for Christ, then we work to make sure we have bread so we make sure other people are freed up and not burdened by us when we're able to earn our own bread. They're freed up to serve Christ instead of being burdened by us. You see this with Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy dealing with widows. If a widow has family who can provide for her, let them do that so as not to burden the church. Now you must understand here, we're talking about someone who is able to work. A widow who has family who can take care of her. In those cases, when someone doesn't work or the family doesn't take care of the widow, it's called a burden. And it keeps others from serving those who are truly in need of being served, which is to be done unto Christ and for the glory of Christ. So we earn our own bread so that we're not a burden to anyone else. We're not relying upon anyone else, not for pride's sake. No. Not for so I can have more stuff's sake, but so that I'm not dependent on others, I'm not burdening others, so they're freed up with their time and their monies to serve the Lord by serving those, actual people, live and in person, who are truly in need. Sure, it says, you don't work, you don't eat. And we love to focus on ourselves. And so we take that as why we work. I work so that I have food. But if you look at Paul's example before that there, he says, we gave you an example. We toiled and labored night and day so that we would eat our own bread, so we provided our own bread, so that we would not burden any of you. That's why we work. We work to serve Christ, and we do that by working with a view to others. There's another others in here. He says what? What did we do? He says we did what? Verse 7, you ought to imitate us. Verse 9, it was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. You're also doing it to be an example to others. See, in both of those cases, others are in view. You're working for your own bread, yes, but for the purpose of serving others. That's when working is to the glory of Christ. That's when our work worships Christ. When we work only with ourselves in view, and we stop there, I'm going to be independent. I'm not going to rely on anyone. Make sure I get my own bread. Buy my own pretty things. Take care of myself. That's pride. It looks the same. Work, paycheck, buy own bread. But the perspective is off. The focus is off. That is not in faith, but that is in self-exaltation. And again, we're talking about someone who has the ability, to work, or the example of a widow who has family that could take care of her. Now, if you actually have a need, and you won't accept other people serving you, because I don't want to be a burden, that's also pride. You have a need. You don't rob other people of the blessing of serving you. But when you couldn't in fact do something or take care of something and you don't, and you refuse to, that's when you're a burden. And we all go there at times. I was trying to think of an example. And I remember a couple of years ago, I had the flu so bad, the stomach flu, I couldn't keep anything in me for day after day after day. And I don't have much to work with here. I was getting pretty dehydrated. And I just... Cassie called, my wife called and got an appointment for me at my doctor.
look, I know it's the flu, but I can't keep anything in my stomach. So I got an appointment, but we had little kids and she couldn't take me. And I was going to drive myself. But I'm talking fever for a couple days, nothing in. And now I look at that and I laugh. And so somehow Mike found out about this and he forced himself upon me and drove me. And, you know, there's probably a mixture of pride there, not wanting to burden him. He's got other family and things to do, as well as, being delirious from being dehydrated and everything else. But I can still remember, I felt so horrible. I still remember that. That's the closest I've ever come to how I felt when I was in Haiti with all the things I had when I was there. But I remember he drove me, and it's the same Suburban they still have now. I remember sitting in that thing. I couldn't even sit up straight. And then even after two bags of IV afterwards, I'm out there laying on the grass mound by the fountain waiting for Mike to come get me. And I'm thinking, how was I going to drive myself? I couldn't drive myself. But now if I call Mike and go, you know, I really don't feel like driving today, and I need to go across town because I want to part from my blingy, bling, bling thing that I like so much. Will you come and take time out of your day, being with your family or whatever you're doing, or stop working the law enforcement thing and being a sword of the Lord's, and you just come drive me somewhere? See, that's ridiculous. Okay, there are times when we are in need, and others are blessed to serve us and to meet those needs. And we don't want to ever rob that. Okay, we've got to be careful that there's not pride at work there. Because there's always pride at work. Right? But when someone is able to work, when someone is able to take care of a widow in their family, and that doesn't happen, that's called a burden. It's a burden because you're robbing those people. You're keeping those people from being able to serve Christ. So yes, we work so that we have bread for ourselves to earn our own living so that. And if you forget to sow that and go for anywhere else but where I'm going here this morning, then you're actually not worshiping Christ with your life. It's so that I will not cause others to have to take care of me when I can take care of myself, thus freeing them up to serve Christ with their time, with their monies, with their energies. The focus is on others. So when you go to work tomorrow, if you're going to serve Christ, you have in view everyone who knows you. Okay? Your family, your church, you have them in view and know that you are working so that everyone else you know in Christ is free to serve Christ. And they're not sidetracked and distracted and burdened by you. That's all here. That's in this passage. I want to add a couple things to it. Treat this like a topical. There's two other things I want to add to show that we work to worship Christ, and how we do that. And our perspective in it is how we get at worshiping Christ. We earn our own bread, but why we're earning our own bread and our perspective in that gets to how we actually worship Christ or what it looks like. I'm going to back you up to 1 Thessalonians. Paul has already addressed this issue once. And he says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. Well, back up so you know what's going on here. Verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. And to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Now look at verse 12. So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Paul here says that we're an example. He was an example to the Thessalonians, but he also says that we work to be an example to outsiders, to those outside the church. We demonstrate, if our faith is in Christ and we're living out that faith in Christ as we go about our work, we are demonstrating to the outside world what a redeemed life looks like. What it looks like to be alive in Christ. Not standing around the water cooler going, I can't believe the boss made that decision. He's such an idiot. What about this? What about that? Instead of doing your work. No, you do your work diligently, quietly, without causing problems and distracting others. And you do it to worship Christ by providing for yourself, freeing other people up so that they can serve, and being an example. So he adds the outside world there that you're an example to. Your witness, your testimony. You could be the most quote-unquote moral Christian around. Squeaky clean. Can't find a sin in your life. but you don't work when you can, there goes your testimony. There goes your witness to the outside world. Paul says something else to the Ephesians in regard to work. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Don't back up as far as I did. There we go, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, granted, here the context is people who are stealing. But then it gets to what? If they're stealing, they're supposed to work. Verse 28, Ephesians chapter 4. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. So in other words, don't steal your bread, earn your bread, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Work to serve others. That's how we work to worship Christ. We work so that we can be givers and not takers. We work so that we do not make ourselves needy when we are not actually needy, but we work to meet the needs of others. Freeing others up that they can serve Christ, sharing with those who are in need, giving our brothers and sisters in Christ and the lost world around us the example of a redeemed life of Jesus Christ that they need to see. I'll say it this way now. When we work as Christians in faith, the right perspective, we work because of the gospel. In every way, shape, and form because of the gospel. Turn with me one more passage. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Very similar things Paul says here to the Ephesians that he said to the Thessalonians in the passage we were looking at this morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 34 and 35. Paul says, you yourselves know, speaking to the elders of Ephesus, verse 33, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know, verse 34, that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said it, and Jesus lived it. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Paul worked to know and to manifest the Jesus Christ who he came to know. Paul worked because of and for the gospel. He now worked in imitation of Christ and to serve Christ because he had been brought from death to life by Jesus Christ. His sins are forgiven. Though he was off persecuting the church, which Christ likened directly to himself, why are you persecuting me? He was now one who was serving Christ by serving his church, by working to provide his own bread many times, even while still preaching. And he did it all because of Christ. He is the beginning, the middle, the end, the overarching purpose, the bottom line. It is all about him. It gets back to him. And it is not nearly as abstract or foreign of an idea as we think. It gets back to the same thing that we know it always gets back to, is being other-centered, even in our work. Paul says here, basically what he's saying is, I work because I'd rather be a giver than a receiver. I'd rather be a giver than a taker. I'd rather be one helping those who are in need than being the needy one. Because my life is no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm alive now. I was dead, but now I live. And the life I live by faith in Jesus Christ. Who not only said it is better to give than receive, but who did not consider equality with God something to be held on to.
But he left his glory in heaven and came, and in perfect obedience, came as a man, as a servant, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. To earn something for himself? No, for us. For us. How do we serve Christ? How do we worship Christ with our lives and anything? By seeking His glory and His preeminence and seeking the focus to be on Him in serving others and considering others and putting them first. That's not a foreign concept to us, but somehow we separate that from the issue of work. It doesn't matter if you're alone when you're working. You are not working for yourself. And I don't just mean you're working for Christ. If you are working for Christ, you are also working for other actual live around you at the time people. So that you could be a giver. Because of and by the power of Jesus Christ and for His glory. So whether you're getting paid for it or not, whether it's dishes and diapers at home or cleaning out outhouses, those blue buildings that stink like crazy, or you're a doctor or an engineer or whatever you're doing, you do it all for the glory of God. You do it to worship Christ with your life. And we do that. You do that when your perspective is on why you're doing what you're doing. Yes, you're earning your own bread so that you can be a giver and not a receiver. And you want to be a giver, not so you might get saved, but you want to be a giver because you have been given salvation by Jesus Christ. The gospel. That is why we work. That is how we work and earn our own bread for the glory of Christ. When the gospel is on the forefront of our mind, it permeates everything we think and do. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again. He gave His life that we might live. That we would serve Him in newness of life, as it says in Romans. Does that include work? Darn tootin' it includes work. There's nothing it doesn't include. To be a giver, not a receiver, because of what we've been given. That's how we can provide for ourselves to the glory of Christ. Join me in prayer. Lord God, I praise You for the full, all-inclusive redemption, cleansing, transformation that there is in Christ. That in Christ, by grace through faith, we who are Christians and Your people, there is nothing, nothing that we do that is not to be done, that cannot be done to Your glory, and therefore have eternal, everlasting value. The most minute, finite, repetitive, menial task to even being a heart surgeon who operates so someone could live longer, only yet to die anyway. No matter how great the work we do seems, it is all finite unless we do it in Jesus Christ. Unless we do it because of and standing on the gospel. Father, grant us that vision, so to speak. That perspective. That faith. Save us from ourselves and our selfish, self-focused thinking that we default to. Yes, work is labor and toil and inconvenience from our selfish perspective. But I don't see how living a sinless life and being beaten and crucified for it was convenient, pleasant or pleasurable. It was not. You did so, Lord, to serve and give Your life as a ransom. And in so doing, You have transformed us, Your people, completely. Transform our lives in real time, Father. impress upon our hearts and our minds continually the gospel. What Jesus said and did and has accomplished, and that He's coming back and what He will fulfill. That we will labor and toil and we will work for His glory. By doing everything we can when it's in our power and our ability to be givers, to serve others, to free others up, to point others to Jesus Christ, who is our life. In whose name we pray. Amen.